Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message from Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about H4G Church, visit us at h4gchurch.com.
Let me give Jesus a round of applause. Come on. God outsends pain. You know, one of my favorite part about that, he said, in order for us to meet God's criteria, God himself had to do it, you know? And he had to, the perfection that he demanded, we ourselves couldn't give him. So God had to come and pay for what we owed him. Come on. Willingly traded his perfection. The Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. Come on. I'm just going to put the icing on the cake. And I just want us to think about that for a minute. God took our sins upon himself. He knew no sin, but he became our sins for us. And today, well, last week, we started off a new series called Beautiful Feet. How many people were here last week? We started off this series. And we talked about how the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, how Paul declared, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who bring glad tidings of peace. And the Beautiful Feet series is all about us understanding how to walk in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the aspects of Christianity that many people have not understood or failed to realize is that, you see, religion is man's attempt at trying to find peace with God. Christianity is about us receiving peace with God through one man. Religion is man trying to obtain peace, trying to obtain blessings, trying to obtain favor, and the religious spirit comes into our churches to try to make us try to offer up our works to try to obtain something from God. But in reality, when you really understand the gospel message, we don't do anything to try to obtain anything from God. Jesus Christ did everything for us. The focus is now simply getting into relationship with Jesus, and through that relationship with Jesus, through our faith, we just simply receive everything that Jesus Christ paid for. You see, what we want to do in our flesh is try to pay for what Jesus Christ paid for. And it never works because the debt has already been paid. I don't have to do anything to try to get God to do anything for me. What I simply do is rest in the finished work of Christ. We rest in the finished work of Christ. And this is where the gospel of peace comes in. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, this is where we started last week. When you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to it. If you have your cell phones, your iPads, whatever you got, we're going to just talk to you for a few minutes about this gospel message. It is the good news, the greatest news that we can ever hear. Romans 10, verse 15, the Bible says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." Somebody say peace. "Who bring glad tidings of good things." And so we explored how on last week, I talked about the fact that whenever we enter into a person's life, whenever we walk into a person's life, we leave footprints in the memories and the hearts of people. Do you realize that? Everyone who's ever walked into your life, they've left a footprint in your heart. Every person that you stepped into, you've left a memory or an impression in their heart. And one of the things is that what God wants for his people is that we would be a people who have beautiful feet. So that when we walk into people's lives, we're not leaving them in any other state every other state that's contrary to who God is, we are supposed to bring people into a place where the Bible says we will share or leave a footprint of the gospel or the message of the good news that Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? That our lives should testify of the peace that Christ has brought for us. And so when I talk about preach, I know we hear that word, we think about, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't got a mic, I don't got a collar, I don't have a title or position in church. But according to Jesus, every person who has accepted him as the Lord has a commission to preach. The word preach simply means to share or publicly declare, boldly or openly. So anytime you have gotten into, as soon as you've gotten into a relationship with Christ, you have been commissioned to preach or share the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it is through the communication of our faith that we become established in our faith. In the book of Philemon, that it is through the communication or the sharing of our faith that we become more and more established in what we really believe. This is why whenever you sit around and just come to church and get a word and go back home and you don't share your faith to anyone, you don't grow. Because the more you share what Jesus Christ is doing in your life, what he has done, and what you know he's about to do, you start growing more in the confidence and the boldness and in the faith of Jesus. Amen? So we have to get now an understanding that if you are a believer, you are called to carry the gospel of peace wherever you go. In every person's life you walk into, you're going to leave a deposit or a footprint of good news, of the peace of God. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You know that peace is a big deal to God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself, his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the next verse it says, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. So Jesus, when he came to the earth, One of the main priorities of his entire life was to bring peace on earth. How many people know the Christmas story? Remember when Jesus was born? And the Bible says that heaven opened up and an angel started singing where he was. Who remembers what they were singing? They were saying, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace on earth. When heaven opened, when the Son of God came to the earth, the first thing heaven wanted to herald or declare over the earth was peace. Peace. Why is this a big deal? Because for some odd reason, the church has lost sight of the gospel of peace. We find preachers today who don't go sent like this, who go out and begin to declare judgment and declare wrath and anger towards people and towards cities and nations. Where did that message come from? That's not the message Christ came to reveal to the earth. So if we're going to carry if you're going to have beautiful feet, we have to first ourselves be secure in an understanding of what the gospel of peace is and why this is critical for us to live a victorious Christian life. Because if you believe in that God is angry or judgmental or wrath, or full of wrath, then you're never going to have a security in the presence of God. Not only that, when you go through life, you'll go through life and you start getting stressed out, fearful, worried, anxious, because you don't understand that God is not angry right now. God is peaceful right now. God is chilling right now. Why is he chilling? Because Jesus Christ took the penalty of our sins upon himself. Any wrath that God would have had towards humanity for our sins and our rebellion and our disobedience, Jesus Christ took that wrath upon himself on the cross. Do we believe that? If we don't believe that, we're going to be schizophrenic Christians. We'll say God is good all the time. Then when something bad go wrong, God, I don't know. You feel like God is angry with you. But check this out. Let me show you guys something. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thanks, Drew. Genesis chapter 3. All right, so the goal of this series is for us to, begin to experience the supernatural peace of God, and it is supernatural. The goal of this series is for us to experience the supernatural peace of God, to learn to walk in this peace, and to carry this peace with us into the lives of people around us. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, the book of beginnings, it's where everything started. It's one of my favorite books, and this is one of my favorite chapters. I can stay in this chapter for months and just keep getting something new. But I'm going to talk today about the love of God, the presence of God, and how important it is for us to staying in the peace of God, all right? Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he also ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. All right? I heard your voice, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then God said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I've commanded thee that you should not eat? The man said, the woman who you gave me, she gave me the tree, and I ate it. All right? So let's stop right there. I want to point out this very important verse right here in number 10. When God called out to Adam, the Bible says, Adam heard his voice and he became afraid. All right? Adam became afraid. I'm talking about the gospel of peace. The Bible shows us from chapter 1 and chapter 2, God's plan for man. He created man in his image. He created us in his likeness. The Bible says male and female. He created us in his image and in his likeness. And then the Bible says that he gave man a command to be fruitful, to multiply, to have dominion and authority on the earth, that we are supposed to subdue the earth, bring the conditions of the earth into perfect alignment with heaven. And what was supposed to happen was that as we became fruitful and multiplied, the human race was supposed to expand and extend all across the earth, bringing more and more of heaven on the earth. So what God did was, the Bible says he planted man in a garden in chapter 2. He planted man in the Garden of Eden, or a garden actually in Eden. The garden in Eden is not the Garden of Eden. The garden was placed in Eden. So he placed a garden inside of Eden, and he placed man in the garden, and then he told the man what he was supposed to do, fruitful, multiply. And then we see that while Adam was on this earth, he wasn't alone, because he also had all the creatures that God created. So it was one man, all the animals, and it was just him. Now, he was around lions, bears, giraffes, gorillas. Somebody said ants. I was trying to get some big, creepy animals, scary animals. What else is scary? Dinosaurs. All right, so pretty much any animals you're afraid of. Adam was around these animals, but nowhere in this story do we see that Adam was intimidated or fearful one bit. As a matter of fact, one of the first assignments or the first assignment God gave Adam was to name all the animals. So God called all the animals towards him and said, Adam, whatever this creature is, I want you to name it. And so he saw a lion and he called it a lion. He called an elephant, saw a rhino, called it a rhino, called the elephant. And nobody, we don't know how Adam knew what to call it, but there was a revelation in Adam that in the assignment that God gave Adam, he just knew what to do. Because he was walking with God. He was walking in the presence of God. And everything he needed to accomplish his assignment was found in the presence of God. All right? So now Adam, in the presence, received revelation. And he was able to give and call forth these animals. We don't even know how many species exist today. But Adam named them all. And it was embedded in the human race that as we grew, we just knew what each animal was because it was in our DNA to discover animals and know what they were. Isn't that amazing? So now as we go forward now, the next person, the next thing God told Adam to do, he put him to sleep, took a rib from his side. He said, man, it looks like, Adam, you're alone. It's not good for you to be alone. I need you to have a helpmeet, a helper. And the Bible says that Adam went to sleep, took a rib from his side, and created woman. And as he created woman, the next thing Adam was to do was to name his wife. He called her, and he said, you are Eve, the mother of the living. And he gave her also her assignment. And these two were supposed to work together in peace and in unity. Their home was supposed to be a happy home. Heaven on earth, peace on earth. But in chapter 3, somebody crept in. Some demon of a creature crept in and brought chaos and destruction and deception into the home. Into the home. Now, in verse what we just read, the Bible says the serpent came and he deceived Adam and Eve out of believing what the word of God said. God said in his word that, Adam, the day you eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you will surely die. Now, that was a clear command from God. But then we see in the next verse, in the next chapter, the serpent comes around and begins to say, did God really say that you will die? He challenged Adam, who was supposed to have dominion and authority on the earth. Now, Adam was the God of that world. Why? Because he was made in the image and likeness of God, which means he was supposed to function as God himself on the earth. Adam was the God of this world. All right? When the devil, through the form of the serpent, crept in and deceived Adam and Eve, Adam lost that title and that function and that authority because he sold himself to the devil. He came under the authority of the devil all by simply agreeing with one of his lies. Okay? As he agreed with what the devil said, Eve bought into it first, and then Eve fed Adam the same lie. Adam bought into it, but he was supposed to rule. He was given the command exclusively to have authority. This is why God dealt with him. But unfortunately, he did not rule. He failed to rule. He failed to take authority. And as a result of that, he sinned. And the Bible says sin now began to work in the hearts of men. Now, we don't see that immediately Adam and Eve went out and started doing crazy stuff. They didn't start going and killing all the animals. They didn't start going and just committing all types of sins. Because usually when we talk about sin, we usually talk about, you know, lying and stealing and killing and all this stuff. But the first initial manifestation of sin in the scriptures wasn't that they killed or did anything. What was the first initial manifestation of sin? The first manifestation of sin was that he was afraid. Now, somebody said unbelief. Unbelief is the root because it was the cause to the sin. He doubted, and as a result of doubting the word, he sinned. And that's the root of all sin, unbelief. If you're taking notes, write that down. Unbelief or doubt, that is the root of all sin. You see, the only reason Adam and Eve didn't walk in sin until they believed a lie, until they doubted the word of God. It's very important that you know that, because many of us, we talk about, you know, the problems that people have with sin, but sin was never an issue. That tree was never a temptation until Adam and Eve became deceived, until they bought into the lie, right? That tree was there the whole time. It wasn't until the serpent came and presented to them an alternative way of looking at that tree that after that, they doubted in their heart, and then they sinned. Come on. So they were deceived, and then they sinned. They went into unbelief, and then they sinned. And I'm going to tell you, every sin is rooted in doubt. It's rooted in unbelief. All right? But the main point I want to point out to you is that the first sign that sin entered into man was that man was afraid. Now watch this. I was doing a little study on the leading causes of death in people's lives. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? So I was doing a little study, and one of the things is that they talked about another factor in humanity today called stress. Anybody ever been stressed before? You know that stress came as a result of sin, right? God didn't create man to be stressed out. As a matter of fact, humanly speaking, from a scientific standpoint, like I said, the six major causes of death today, which is, what is it? It says cancer, of course, is one of them. Heart disease, high blood pressure, liver cirrhosis, lung disease, and suicide are the six leading causes of death. Or the six major causes of death today. But underneath all of those, they say that stress is linked to all of those. Stress. All the major causes of death today, they say that all of them are linked in stress. Now, stress, worry, anxiety, depression, all those things all hang out with each other, right? They all hang out together. But what I found out is that to the root of all of that stress, worry, depression, discouragement, all these things, what causes stress is fear. You think about it. So they say stress is the silent killer, because that's what it's called, because it's linked to all these diseases. You can't cure stress, right? You can't take a medicine for stress. But you see the symptoms of it because it begins to cause damage in your physical body, because our physical bodies weren't designed to be stressed out. It's something that's within us. And what stress is linked to is fear. Now I'm going to ask a question. Why do we get afraid? If I was to ask you guys, let's give us some, what are some of the reasons why people get afraid? Yeah. So you're afraid of, you don't know what's going to happen. Afraid of the unknown. Okay, what else? Wait, let's answer this first. Why do people get afraid? Yes. When they start losing control. Okay. All right, let's save that. What else? A lack of faith. Somebody said, all right, lack of faith, the unknown. Sorry. The unknown, fear of the unknown. What else? You said insecurities. Anybody else? Unbelief or his lack of faith. Anyone else? Doubt is all the same thing. When your ego is threatened to be dethroned. No, that's very important. It's all interconnected. When your ego is threatened, okay, to be dethroned. Anything else? How about people get afraid when they don't have enough? All right. Somebody, okay. Actually, according to the statistics, right, one of the leading causes of stress is money. Money issues. So most people today get stressed out because of concerns about money. Right? Yes. Yes, other people can do that. But that's according to the causes of stress, right? Stress is, there's many factors of stress. But we're talking about fear, the root of it all. Worry. Now I'm gonna do something now, all right? So a lot of these things, these are great points. One of the things is that we realize, okay, lack of faith, unbelief, all these things all connect to lack, right? You feel like you're missing something, so you don't have enough of something. The minute you feel like you don't have enough of something, you start panicking. The minute you don't feel you have enough, you start tightening up. You know that was never a concern of Adam before the fall? Why? Because they had, remember what Eve said? All the trees of the garden we can eat from. The garden was filled with abundance. It was filled with everything they will ever have, they needed to live, to survive, to thrive. But what did the enemy do? He caused them to look at the one thing they couldn't have. They had an abundance of trees, Mike. But the serpent got them to focus on the one thing they don't have. And they focused on their lack instead of their abundance. And led that to sin. Why? Because once you focus on lack and you feel like you don't have enough, all stress breaks loose, all fear, worry. So lack, very important we understand that. I'm going to just simplify all of this. So lack, being aware of lack, causes you to feel threatened. This is where we go into the next one. So we have lack. When your ego feels threatened or you feel like your life is threatened. All right? This is going to be good. You feel like your life is threatened or your ego is threatened. You know another reason, why was Adam afraid when God called him? Why did Adam become afraid when God called him? He knew he disobeyed him. So why would you be afraid if you disobeyed? What are you expecting? Punishment or wrath, right? The repercussions of your own actions. Another reason why he got afraid, he thought God was going to come and do something bad to him. Now, in verse 8, when the Bible says God came, in verse 9, when the Lord God called unto Adam, you know in the original text, all indications of that original language, when God called unto Adam, indicates that he called out to make peace with Adam. You see, nowhere in here did the Bible show us that God was coming to punish or judge Adam for what he did. All it said was that God called unto him. Adam hid. Right? Adam hid from God. But why? God said, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? He said, I hid because I was naked. Ah, so what nakedness represents? being aware of missing something. Who said that you are naked? Who said that you don't have enough? Who said that you're not adequate enough anymore to come in my presence? Where did you get this mindset from? Who told you that you don't have enough money? Right? All the reasons why we begin to doubt and think we don't have enough, where is that coming from? It's coming from somebody. It ain't God. When you become aware of your lack, or aware of lack, or aware of the possibility that you don't have enough, or that you can't make it, or that you can't do it anymore, that's when you begin to fall into all sorts of sin, all sorts of problems, all sorts of trouble. Adam sinned. He became aware of lack. He felt like his life was threatened, and he thought he was going to be punished for his sins. And somewhere along that line, we've all been in this place before. But we're going to get free from this with this revelation. Now watch this. To sum this up, the reason why we all feel afraid in different points of our lives is because we don't feel powerful. Now, this is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. God wants us to feel powerful in life. Adam no longer felt powerful. He thought he was naked. He thought he didn't have enough. And so now he began to resort to his own actions. And the Bible says he sewed fig leaves around himself and covered himself. He began to depend on his own works. But he no longer felt powerful. And when you don't feel powerful, you don't feel free. So he was no longer powerful, and he was no longer free. Because get this, the minute you don't feel powerful, whenever you feel a situation is more powerful than you, you get into fear. Whenever you feel a person is more powerful than you, you get afraid. Right? Am I getting too deep? You see what happens when a doctor's report comes and it says, oh, we diagnosed X, Y, and Z. If you feel that that sickness is more powerful than you, you're going to fall to the pressure of that sickness. It's only unless you know that you have access to a God who is more powerful than any circumstance you face with, you'll never walk in the confidence and the peace that God wants you to have. Because when Adam sinned, what happened was he no longer remained in the presence of God. After he sinned, he hid from God's presence. The presence of the Lord came to him, Rupert. Adam, where are you? It's not like he couldn't find him. God was looking over the fig leaves. He was hiding behind. Adam, where are you? Acting like he didn't see him. God sees everything, right? So Adam, where are you? But he was hiding from the presence of God. Because you know what sin does? The first thing it does is it makes you afraid of entering into the presence. Come on. When you are afraid, the first thing sin causes you to do is flee from the presence of God. When a person has been born again and has become renewed in Christ, that person begins to not run from the presence, but runs into the presence. Adam didn't know he can do that. He thought God was mad at him. He thought God was angry at him. He thought God was going to judge him for what he did. So instead of running to God and confessing his sin to God, what did he do? He hid from God, and then he blamed his wife. Why do you blame? Because you're afraid of punishment. You're afraid because you think somebody's going to do something to you. So instead of taking the blame for it, like, listen, he did it. She did it. Blame is all in that. First is in here. We don't take ownership of what we do because we're afraid of punishment. But that's why when you understand the gospel and understand the good news that Jesus Christ received our punishment for us, we don't have to be afraid to lift up our hands, to come before God, say, God, I sinned. God, I messed up. God, I failed you. And we can come boldly into his presence because we know that God is not mad. Come on. Adam didn't know God wasn't mad. He assumed God was mad. And the world out here believes God is mad at them for something they did wrong, don't they? Most people walk around and they're afraid because they think they did something so bad, so wrong, that God is mad at them. God doesn't want to forgive them for what they did. I did X, Y, and Z with my body. I did this before, and I don't think God is going to receive me the way that I am. But those who have beautiful feet are supposed to go into the world and remind people about this gospel of peace. That God is not mad, and that you can come boldly into his presence. You see, so in order for that to happen, we got to get rid of this thing called fear in our hearts. And the first place we receive our freedom from fear is in the revelation that God loves us. Let me show you another verse, 1 John chapter 4. Let's flip to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. Somebody say hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Is this helping anybody so far? All right. If you're taking notes, just write this down. So, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of problems. Nothing in this world will give you peace. The minute Adam stepped out of the presence of God, he no longer had peace. He became afraid. He became aware of lack. He no longer had access to the power and the authority God gave him. I believe all the animals who looked all nice and innocent, all of a sudden they looked evil to Adam. And I believe animals got mad after the fall. You know, lions weren't supposed to attack us. Dogs are not supposed to attack us. We're supposed to rule and have the dominion over them, right? They attacked men because man sinned. Because when we sinned, we messed everything up. We start polluting their habitat, kill them and eat them. All the stuff that wasn't intended in the beginning. Why? Because the peace in the earth was broken. When God's presence was abandoned by man, all hell began to break loose on the earth. It's only the presence of God that's going to restore peace on earth. That's why when Jesus was born and God became man and entered into the earth, heaven began to sing, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Because whatever breach or whatever divide or enmity or war that was between man and God when Jesus came on the earth, all of that war, all of that beef, all the enmity between us and God was about to be dealt with. Hallelujah. This is why people are looking for money to bring them peace. People look for relationships to bring them peace. None of that will bring you peace. If we had time, I'll show you. John chapter, if you can write this down, John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and be afraid. So Jesus said, I'm leaving my peace with you. God has a peace that no one else can give you. In chapter 16, verse 33, he said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16, 33. Jesus preached this message, but realized the peace will only come from his presence. I've seen rich people with all the money they want not be at peace. And I've seen poor people with no money not be at peace. Money doesn't determine if you are going to have peace or not. Right? How many rich people you know kill themselves, have money to get whatever they want in life, and still don't have peace? It's not more money that's going to bring you more peace. Peace is not the absence of troubles. Right? 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. So don't be think that because you became a Christian, there's going to be no more trouble or problems around you. Hello. You don't get saved and then think all the problems is just going to go away. In this, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. Problems will arise. But he says what? Take heart or be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And when you stand in the victory of Christ, you can now walk, face every circumstance in your life and know that you can overcome everyone, because Jesus overcame everything this world had to throw at him. Come on. And that is where the peace comes from. It's in the revelation of the Lordship of Jesus. If you don't believe Jesus is Lord over cancer, you're going to battle and struggle with cancer until it takes you out. But if you believe Jesus overcame cancer on the cross and in his resurrection, you can look at cancer and say, cancer, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am healed. He has overcome it already. Come on. Poverty, lack, whatever it is that you think you have in your life, Jesus overcame it all. And you face your circumstances knowing this revelation that Jesus is Lord. He went in the grave. He went on the cross. He took our sins, went down in the grave, buried all of our problems, buried over everything. And then he overcame it when he resurrected. And then he says, now I made you more than conquerors. Through you, Christ, I can overcome every problem, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we got to learn how to access this presence. It's not just simply a theory. There is a place in God where the presence of God will permeate your soul and begin to work peace in you. That's why I said it's not the absence of problems. The early church were thrown in prisons. The early church were being persecuted by the government, but they still had peace. As a matter of fact, when people were killing Christians, they saw the peace on them, and after they killed them, said, I want to serve this Jesus that Jesus died for. It's proven. History shows that. People were praising God, being stoned to death. Remember Stephen in the Bible? Acts 9. People being stoned, whipped, brutalized, and still had a smile on their face. They were like, what kind of peace is this? It was a testimony of the gospel of peace that entered into these people's heart. And that's something we got to know, because for some, we go through the littlest things and we start losing our heads. We start panicking. Come on, how many people would be honest? We see the next check called bill come, rather. It's like, this is higher than I thought. And then we start panicking because we are aware of lack. But if we're aware of the presence of God, in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Come on. So we got to learn to access this presence and tap into this presence, right? Here's what we're going to do. 1 John chapter 4. We're almost done. Say hallelujah. 1 John 4. For time's sake, let me just jump down to verse 16. Verse 15. Let's look at 14. 1 John 4, 14. Let's go. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen? We testify that the Father, God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. What did he save us from? He saved us from sin. When he saved us from sin, he saved us from all of our fears. He saved us from everything we will ever be afraid of. Watch this. And we have known, I'm sorry, verse 15, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he's in God. All right, so that the presence of God that was once so far away from us, the minute we confess Jesus is the Son of God and accept what Jesus Christ did for us, the Bible says God begins to move in on the inside of you. God begins to take residence within you. And when God begins to move into your heart, it moves into your being, God lives in you. And if we know God lives in us, tell me, what circumstance can come your way that God does not have the power or the authority to change? You see, you got to become aware of the presence of God. But you can't fake it. If you don't sense him, you just don't sense him. But when you know Christ lives in you and you got a revelation of Christ in you, the presence of God begins to become a reality to you. And that peace that God brings into your life begins to over. See, the Bible says, let the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, guard your heart and mind. is not something that you can understand. You ever been in a situation, how many people have ever been in a situation and you it should have stressed you out? And you just looked at it like, I don't even know why I'm not mad. Come on. The peace of God guards your heart and mind, and it's past your understanding. One of the things I had to learn, Drew, is that if I want the peace that passes all understanding, I have to lose my right to understand. If I want the peace that passes all understanding, I have to lose my right to understand. You want to understand how everything is going to work out for us. You don't need to. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean, what? Not to your own understanding. I don't need to understand. Once I put my trust in the Lord, I know the Lord begins to make a way out of no way. Even if I can't see it, even if I don't understand it, the Lord will begin to work for me and do what only He can do. Bible says His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I can't understand the way God is going to work, but all I do is put my trust in His presence. I put my trust in His lordship, and I know that the Lord begins to work on me because I know that He's with me. So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In this world, you're going to have problems, but take courage because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. See, if you don't have this peace in you, you can't have faith. How are you going to work faith if you don't have peace? See, peace is the missing link to faith. If you don't have peace in knowing that God is with you, God is in you, God is working for you, God is around you, God lives in you, if you don't have this awareness of the revelation of God in you, then you're never going to have this peace, because peace comes only in the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's why God said, I'm not going to live in buildings made by hands anymore. I'm going to live in people. You will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the temple of the living God. Why does God want to live in you? He doesn't want to live around you. He doesn't want to live above you. God wants to live in you. Hallelujah. You will face every problem. You will face every circumstance with the revelation that God lives in you. He's not far away. See, even Adam didn't have that. You see, when God breathed into man, man became a living soul. But when Adam sinned, he stepped out of that presence. He lost his awareness of God with him. That's why he lost his presence. Watch this. A few more minutes. Where was I? Verse what? 15. God dwells in you. Look at somebody next to you. Say, God dwells in you. And you're in him. Find somebody else. Say, God is dwelling in you. And you're dwelling in him. Verse 16. And we have, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have known. Shekaramaya. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have known and believed. Okay? Some people know, but they don't believe. Some people believe, but they don't know. All right? We have known and believed the love. Somebody say the love. The love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God is in him. All right? So when you know and you believe that God really loves you, the Bible says that that love will begin to produce a love in you where you can now walk in love. Because when you're the presence of God, if God is love, when you're in his presence, you should feel loved. Where God is, love is. when you believe God is in you, you should feel loved. How many people do crazy stuff looking for love? Right? When you don't know you're loved, let's say you're in a relationship, right? And you don't trust this person. Can you love that person? Somebody will try to be deep and say, yeah. You see, a relationship may start in love, but it ends in trust. Because once you doubt this person that you're in a relationship with, it's very hard for you to love them. Come on. What happens is when we don't trust, we can't love. Because you got to believe in somebody to love them. Hallelujah. That's good. You have to believe in God in order to love him. You have to believe in people to love them. If you don't trust this person, you can't love them. That's why if you've been hurt or somebody left footprints on your heart, that were footprints of betrayal and deceit and lies or whatever the case may be, it's hard for you to trust people. And when it's hard for you to trust people, you can't love people. You can't be in a healthy relationship with people. Right? You cannot be in a healthy relationship if you're not in love. So God needs to deal with the fear because all the stuff is rooted in that. So what does he say in verse 17? In this is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment, he that fears is not made perfect in love. All right. So now this lets us know, if we are experiencing fear, stress, worry, anxiety, depression, all these things that are rooted in fear, then the Bible says we have not been made perfect in our understanding of God's love for us. Because if we really know and believe how much God really loves us, the Bible says it would drive out all fear from our hearts. Isn't that amazing? Perfect love, what? Drives out or casts out fear. So where is your level of understanding? It's God's love. It's peace with God. Knowing that you're at peace with God and knowing that God loves you, this is what's going to solidify or root you in the confidence you need to go through every problem, every circumstance, and not be afraid. All right? Fear is in sin. God's love casts out fear, and it casts out sin. God is love. So when I know him and believe in him and I have a revelation of him in me, it will begin to drive out fear. Now, this doesn't happen in one shot. It doesn't happen. Some of us have had some fears driven out, and there's some fears that are still there. But the point is, the more we know God's love for us, the more it'll cast out fear from us. Amen? Last verse. So how do we begin to experience this love? The Bible says in verse 19, we love him. Why? We love God because we know he what? First loved us. How do I know God first loved me? How did he prove that he first loved us? You know, God loved you before you loved him. God was seeking you before you were seeking him. You're here today because God drew you here, not because you wanted to. God initiates. He initiated everything. He came in the garden. Adam wasn't looking for him. He was looking for Adam. When we were in our sins, and we were all in our, five chapters later in chapter 6, man was desperately wicked, doing all the crazy stuff. God was getting ready to destroy man, but God found one. By the name of Noah. He said, he found grace in my sight. You think Noah was perfect? You think Noah was doing everything righteous? God wanted to find somebody to give grace to. All throughout the scriptures, you see God finding a way to save man, not to destroy man, to find a way to bring us back to him. Hallelujah. And the final revelation we see of that is in Jesus Christ, that when God himself came to the earth in the form of a man, put his spirit in a body, walked on this earth, and began and said, I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to die for your sins so that now and forever you will always know that I am at peace with you and that you don't have to be afraid of me ever again. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. We don't ever have to be afraid of any circumstance, any trouble, because God, the God who loves us, went out of his way, left his throne to meet us on this earth, to become our sins for us, to die for our sins, and then give us the victory over every situation we'll ever face. But it's going to come in our knowing and our believing in his love for us. The final thing is Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 5, I believe verse 43. He said, you have heard before that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you that you should love your neighbor and love your enemies. That you should bless those who, what? Curse you. You should pray for those who, what? Despitefully use you. Why would Jesus say something like that? In the end of that chapter, verse 48, he then says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Lord showed this to me. He said, I told Jesus to say this to you because that is how I'm treating people today. You see, the Father tells you to love your enemies and love your neighbors because the Father is loving our neighbors and loving our enemies. God isn't going to tell us to love. He isn't going to tell us to do anything he isn't doing. So if God is loving enemies, if he tells us to love our enemies, that means God must be doing it. You can't beat God at being God. You can't be more righteous than God. So if Jesus told us to love our enemies, it's because God is loving his enemies right now. This is why those fire and judgment preachers who tells you God wants to destroy America because America became an enemy of God, they are a liar. That's not God. God is loving his enemies right now. Hallelujah. When you were his enemy, the Bible says he died for you. Hallelujah. So if he's loving his enemies, he's not judging his enemies at the same time. If he tells us to bless those who curse us, it's because he's blessing people who cursed him. If he tells us to pray for those who despitefully use us, it's because he's praying for people who despitefully use him. Are you seeing this? He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Your Father in heaven is treating people this way, so he tells us to treat people the same way because that's how he's treating us. God loves you. He loves us. He loves America. He loves New York. He loves his enemies. He loves the homosexuals. Come on. He loves people. He loves the nation. He loves the world he created. That's why he sent his son to die for us. Hallelujah. To save us from the sin or the fear or the unbelief that's causing us to sin. Hallelujah. That's why, as we close, that's why we have to believe in him to be saved. Because it's our unbelief that's causing us to sin. You see? Faith is what saves us, not works, because it's not our behavior that causes us to sin. Our behavior is just a symptom of sin. But the root of it all is our doubt in God's word and our fear of his presence. So how do I get back into that? I got to believe and receive his love for me. How many people believe in the love that God has for them? If you believe in the love that God displayed for you through his son, Jesus Christ, I want you to just lift up your hands and just begin to bless him and begin to thank him for his love. Come on.